All right, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 130. In your bulletin today, we have a little flyer here, and I just want to kind of clarify some things. Brother Hewitt and I were talking about this, and actually, this is they had the big we're at the anniversary, you know, of Roe versus Wade, and there was a big rally down in Washington this past week, and there's a little bit of glimmer of hope that maybe something will happen. Don't let down. It's amazing how Satan can bring things back and lay low and then go in full force at the last minute or whatever. I don't know. But we thought, well, is there anybody in York County that's really doing anything and offering, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ with it, you know, and so forth. And this is the closest thing we can find. And so I don't know all about these folks, but I'm just saying that at least there's some approach there that at least is headed in that direction. And so, but I would encourage you to know this: if there's somebody who you know that needs these services, you know where to go, as well as. You know, if someone in particular, Lord, lays on your heart to encourage these services, we want you to remember, of course, that they're going to encourage life, not abortion. And I want you to know that. I just can't understand how twisted our minds can be. And I understand. I've never been in that particular in that situation, and I never will be personally. But maybe somebody you love is, and I don't know what all the situation may be, but we have to be careful. And just because you know, well, I'm obeying God. I don't want somebody to feel bad. Well, I don't think murdering a baby is a good alternative. And I know there may be somebody in here that's been through that. And I don't want to hurt anybody. And I know that we can get down into a position we don't really feel like we have any other choice. I understand that. But when we know the Word of God, we'll find out that there must be some way for Him to get us through. That's like this little paper says here. You know, it happened. It's not that God wanted you to be in that situation, but He knew you were. He knew there would come a day when you would be in that situation. And if you want Him to, He will help you through it. And I just want to encourage you on those kind of things. Psalm 130. Let me read this. I'm going to try to make this the final message of our series in Hope, Thou, and God. I was going to finish this up a couple weeks ago and then start the new series for this year. But we kind of missed out on the last 2 weeks here. So here we go. And a lot of this you will recognize bits and pieces. But on the last message I had, I want to make it very concise and very clear. I want you to see some steps here and hope that you'll understand and clarify some things here with everything that we've said. Psalm 130, look at verse number 5, if you will. Well, you know what? Let me go back to the beginning of the chapter. It's not long. Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? In other words, if God just kind of cuts everybody off because we're sinners, there's not one of us left standing. So, you know, you say, well, somebody, you know, maybe they had an abortion. Listen, except for the grace of God, so go you. So let's not, you know, and watch this verse 4. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And he says, so listen, if you were going to count our sins, none of us could stand. Fact is, He's a forgiving God. And he says, listen, he said, watch. look at the connection. But there's forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. He wants a relationship. He wants a people who's going to live for him, to fear him, so to speak. If it kills us, where are we? You know, that's kind of out the window. So he says, listen, I will give you another start if you're willing to repent and fear me. The verse 5 is where I'm starting for the day. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. That word wait is the one we talked about a few weeks ago, which means I've bound myself to him. If he moves, I got to move. You know, if he goes, I go. I've bound myself to him. I wait for the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah, the God of creation, the God who made all the universe, the one who's the Lord of all things. I have bound myself to him. And then he says, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. And that word hope means to wait. I'm trusting on him. He says, listen, I'm hanging on him for all I'm worth. I've tied myself to him, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. I messed up. Well, then he can redeem me. He can buy me back too. So he says, I am hanging on to the Lord. If he goes this way, I go this way. If he goes this way, I go this way. If he stops, I got to stop. When I was a kid, you see kids do this. I don't see them do it as much as I used to for some reason. But you ever see a little kid, his father's standing there, and all of a sudden the kid's hanging onto his leg, and all of a sudden he sits down on the father's foot. And when the father walks, the kid's riding his foot. You know what I'm talking about? He rides a foot. It's like riding a bucking bronco. Wherever his foot goes, that's where he goes. You know, it's funny. There's a very calming yet exhilarating effect. Because you realize dad's not going to throw me off. He might pretend to. And that's just funny because daddy wouldn't do that. Isn't it funny how that is? And so we're riding, and we're riding along on his foot. We're just having a great time because wherever he goes, I go. I'm just going along for the ride. Well, I'm hanging on to my Heavenly Father. That's what he says here. I'm hanging on to my Heavenly Father, and I'm going along for the ride. When I was a kid in elementary school, we always have, you know, like the end of the year, they always have a field day. And you do all these, you know, these events and so forth. I'm not really a very athletic person. There was one thing I would do was I always do the frisbee throw. And I knew I could keep that thing flat, and I would always win the frisbee throw. I could make that thing just soar right across the field there. Another thing I would always sign up for, really, really tough stuff. But a buddy of mine who was also not very athletic, but a musician, musically inclined, and we're having an athletic day, but he was musically inclined, and we would sign up for the three-legged race. And so you tie your legs together there. And he said, well, why was music of you? Because we can keep a beat. Okay? And so we knew that if we were going to get down the other end, because you watch other people. And so they both start, and one's going this way, and they're going this way. And, you know, they're making their way down. And finally, one of them falls down. The other one just drags them across the finish line. You know what I'm talking about? I said, I'm not going to do that. So we knew we really didn't have a choice. If I was going to finish the race tied to something, I'm going to have to work along with that person I'm tied to. You catching my drift? And so what we would do is we would tie our legs together. And I remember we sit there and say, okay, now we're going to start with the middle leg here together, right? Yeah. Okay. And this is how we do it. One, two, one, two, one, two. To the point we were running full force. Now, for us, full force wasn't all that fast. But when the rest of them are tied together and they're fighting, one another, trying to get across the line, we did really well. Now, I may not be much, but if I'm tied to the Lord and I will get along with Him and I'll take my steps when He takes His steps and I will get in step with Him, we're going to do just fine. In fact, it's almost as if I'm not tied at all. That's what it means to wait on the Lord. I can't move if He's not going to move. Now, the fact is, we kind of worked it together. When you're tied to the Lord, you let him do the counting. One, two, one, two, stop. One, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, stop. One, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, stop. If He moves, I move. If He stops, I stop. But as long as if I'm tied to Him, I listen to what He tells me I'm supposed to do, I'm going to be just fine. I want to preach on this topic this morning. It's a word of prayer. How to build hope. How to build hope. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for Your blessing. We thank You for these lessons we've had and what You've shown us in these things. Simple messages in many ways. And yet, Lord, we kind of walk right past them. And so, Lord, I pray that You'll help us here to kind of bring some loose ends and tie these all up and pray that we can live by these things. So, Lord, use this morning for Your honor and for Your glory. Be a comfort to those who have lost loved ones and be a guide to our hearts as we seek to walk with You. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. We spent several weeks on the topic of depression here, actually several months. I approached the topic from the perspective of, is there hope? And of course, the answer is yes. The next question most likely is, but is there hope for me? Well, again, the answer, since God is no respecter of persons, is yes. Hope is available for all people if they're willing to trust the Lord, if they're willing to tie themselves to Him. I knew that God wanted me to spend some time on this issue, but I've still been surprised by how many folks have felt that this has been a much-needed study for our own lives. I think that we all think that we are the only ones in the world who are quietly struggling in life with discouragement and depression. It confirms to me again that there's no temptation that hath taken you except that which is common to man. First, I also want to remind you that we do not need to live in a prolonged state of depression and turmoil. Now, we may experience a passing crisis. You know, have you ever been startled? So I'm not scared of anything. And someone, boom! Yeah. You know, and all of a sudden you do. You know, but there's a passing crisis. It catches you off guard, but once you realize what's going on and you turn around and you see it's me, then you're really scared. No, you turn around and you say, well, this is no big deal. I can handle this. This is fine. I'm all right. We're startled. And sometimes life startles us. But we should be able to quickly hand it over to the Lord. We do not have to linger in a fearful, bitter, and depressed state. The Lord wants us to live a life of hope and blessing in this world of hopelessness and cursing. And hope is available to all of us, though no temptation has taken us except that which is common to man. So whether we live in these temptations with hope in the Lord or with fear and bitterness is really up to us. We can trust the Lord and His Word, or we can wallow in depression. Depression now is the lack of hope, and that lack of hope comes when we can see no future for ourselves. We think when we truly see our powerlessness, our vulnerability that we really have, it will cause most any reasonable person to lose hope. And it really does make sense. On the other hand, when we realize that there's a loving God who has a plan for our life, has the power to bring that plan to fruition, hope begins to blossom. And when hope comes into the picture, depression begins to fade. Let me say that again. When hope comes into the picture, depression begins to fade. And listen to this next couple of statements, very important. As we build our hope, we defeat our depression. Follow me? As we build our hope, we defeat our depression. The more hope, the less depression. The more areas we hope in, the less areas we will become depressed in. You say, well, I can trust God with my marriage, but I'm not so sure about my finances. And so you can become depressed simply because of your finances. Someone said, well, I'm in trouble with my finances. It's my marriage I'm worried about. In other words, but so you could be, it's, again, it could be the same thing. Whatever it may be, maybe my kids, it may be my health. I don't know what it may be, but the more things that we can turn over to Him in hope, the less depression we're going to have. So once again, allow me to say that though some feelings of depression may occur, remember this, because of physical abnormalities, because of chemical imbalances, whether it's by natural causes or artificially induced means, I believe that both the medical field and the Word of God agree that the vast majority of depression occurs because we're unable to mentally and emotionally deal with life. And as we perceive, it to be, because, you know, we don't care. That doesn't mean sometimes it's not really what it is, for sure. It's what we perceive it to be. Well, I don't think it's that bad. Oh, yeah, it is. Well, I don't think your husband's cheated on him. Oh, I know he has. Well, how do you know? I just can feel it. You know, and so you got to be careful of those kind of things. We perceive it to be, and we bring on a whole set of problems that aren't necessarily there yet. But I believe that we're mentally and emotionally unable to deal with life as we perceive it to be, or we're simply unwilling to accept life for what it is. Somehow, and I believe that Americans have been told for so long that they can do anything they want. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think there's a lot of good philosophy in there. The problem is we think we're not supposed to have any problems. And if we have any problems, then we're a failure. And then we get depressed. Well, whose life are you leading? I'm still a human. I don't know about you, but I'm still a human. There are going to be problems. And life is what it is. It is what it is, and there's going to be a problem. And there's some things you cannot change because it comes from another person, outside causes. There's some things you can't do. You say, well, why me? I don't know why you. But it is. Why did I lose a kidney? Why did I have kidney cancer? Why did I lose a kidney? Why was it my kidney that went bad? I don't drink. I don't smoke. That's what they said. Well, do you drink? I said, no, never have. Do you smoke? No, never have. I mean, when I was a teenager, I took one of each. I'm sorry, but I hope I don't think that did it. You know how kids do. I can't say that I was totally. I never had alcohol touch my lips. Well, I can't say that. Not much. Why was it me? I don't know. I was that close to dying. I don't know. It's because we live in an old sin-cursed world, and this body is cursed, and some of us got more of the bad genes on this issue than others did. Why in the world do you remember George Burns? He smoked and drank his entire life. He always had a cigar in his hand. And he lived to be 99 years old, 100 years old, what it was. He even played God in one old movie. Remember that? You know? Why did that guy, I mean, he was either a nice guy, but why did he get to live that long and live like that? And Betty White, I mean, she's funny, but, you know, she's not exactly the cleanest in all the world. She lived to be 99 years old. What's with that? Spurgeon died when he was 58, or was it 62? Moody was 58. They were right about that. That's how old I am in that area. They died when there's why? I don't understand. You don't understand. Life is what it is, but we don't need to hang on to this. I digress. Now, I think we as Americans think everything's supposed to be fine with us, and so we shouldn't have any problems. So if something goes wrong, we get depressed, as if God has dropped the ball. No. We've forgotten the words of Jesus. He said, listen, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. The answer is, as it said here, I wait on your word. Jesus also said, we don't live by bread alone. Well, what's that mean? We don't live by taking care of our physical needs. See, a lot of people say, well, I wouldn't be so depressed if this wasn't a problem. I've got this going on in my life, and this physical thing going on in my life, and this issue and this circumstance, and you know, if I get all this stuff fixed, then I won't be depressed. Here's the problem: you won't ever get it all fixed. You won't get it all fixed. Well, as soon as I get everything laid out where it's supposed to be, I'll be happy. No, you won't, because you're not going to be able to do it. Because in this world, ye shall have tribulations. But be of good cheer, Jesus said, I've overcome this world. My hope is in him. My hope is going to get me through. Listen, very seldom do we ever have no problem, because we have no problem. Look out, something's around the corner. It just is. Because that's the world we live in. Again, in Matthew 17, 18, it says, Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. So Jesus, he cast out a devil out of a little boy. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto him, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. But didn't say you're not going to go through problems. Now, I'm not going to take the time to review the conditions of depression, the causes, since we've covered them a whole lot. But I want you to remember that the cure is hope in God. And hope in God is hope in something that's worth putting our trust and reliance in, that never fails. Hope in movable things is really only a temporary and a false hope. Money is not our hope. Well, I just had more money. Proverbs 23, 4, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For the riches certainly have themselves wings. They fly away as eagles toward heaven. All you got to do is have a teenager with their hand out, and I don't care if you got money in your pocket. There it goes. There it goes. You're doing really well, and all of a sudden you got a little bit of money in your pocket, and a bill shows up that you didn't know was coming. There it goes. You were doing really well, and then the washing machine breaks down. It's 12 years old. And you ask the washing machine repairman, how long does the washing machine usually last? About 10 years. Oh. How old is this? 12. Boy, you got your money. Got your money's worth out of that one. Of course, it's twice as much as it was when you bought that 12 years ago. Money goes. Watch this. Man is not our hope. Man is sure to fail us. Psalm 118:8 says, better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Watch this. It's better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in princes. So whether a man is a friend or a family member, or if it's man's government, it too is only temporary and made of fallible human flesh and will fail you. And in fact, the armor of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own, the old song says. The only thing that truly changes not is God. God is our hope. Depression is the lack of hope in the provision and of the living and almighty God of the universe. That's our problem. So hope, let's say it this way, hope is faith in action. That action is waiting on God to do his work and keep his commandments, to keep his promises in his time and in his way. Hope results in things like praise and not complaining. Hope results in health to our countenance and not a discouragement and frowning. Hope there is joy, not
gloominess. With hope there's peace, not turmoil in our soul. With hope there's love and not selfishness. With hope there's no fainting or falling, but we mount up with wings as eagles. With hope we enjoy the blessings of God and not experience the curse of sin so much. So with all this talk about hope and how necessary it is in our lives and how great the results are, here's the question. How can I actually have hope? What can I do to establish hope in the depths of my heart and soul? Well, hope comes from our belief in God and our willingness to trust God, and lack of faith will result in the lack of hope. So to build hope, we must build our faith in God. And faith in God is built by the hearing of the Word of God. I had somebody come up to me some months ago when we were kind of first getting going here, and somebody in their family was dealing with depression. I don't want to hurt anybody by saying this, but they said, "Well, I'm so glad." What they said was, "I'm so glad you didn't equate hope with faith." And I thought, man, I didn't do a very good job then, did I? Because you see where we are, we do not want to take responsibility for our depression. Now, I understand there are some things that are chemical, I understand. But some things I think are chemical because we have reacted to it emotionally. It's going in the opposite direction. I'm not depressed because of my chemical reaction. My body is exhibiting a chemical reaction because of my depression. Most times. Now, I understand there could be some chemical things that can go on, and I'm not lighting that. But most people who are diagnosed with depression, it's not because of a chemical reaction. And the fact is, sometimes they're having a chemical reaction, but it is being perpetuated by our emotional response to this chemical reaction. We need to build hope. We need to know God's Word. Listen to me. We need to know God's Word so that we can know God, so that we can trust God, so that we can surrender to God and leave our lives in God's hands and have the hope that we need. So how do we build hope? Again, I've tossed these principles in along the way, but I want you to see them. Number one, this is going to be super, so simple. But this is what I want you to take so you can put it in your pocket and take it home with you. Number one, to build hope that will keep depression away, we must know God's Word. Man, look what time it is already, my soul. To build hope, we must know God's Word. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you listen to the media long enough, you're going to start believing it. You want hope in God, then you need to get God's point of view on the issue. The reason most of us lose hope is because our hope is not resting on the eternal Word of God. Many rest their hope in the opinion of men. And listen, sometimes that opinion's right and sometimes it's not right. There's an awful lot of folks who they'll read these books about the Bible and then they'll say, well, I'm going to check it out in the Bible. Why don't you skip the middleman and go right to the Bible? And let the Holy Spirit, He promises to lead you in all truth and guide you into that. Well, why don't you take Him up on His promise? And if He doesn't do it right away, He says, whoa, 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 Lord. You promised to teach me the Word of God, to teach me truths. Now, you may not be able to understand this passage, but you keep reading. You say, well, there's some of it I don't understand. Well, do the parts you do understand. You may not be ready for the parts you don't understand yet. And God will give you that part as you can become ready with it. Psalm 119:89 says, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to Thine ordinances, for all are Thy servants. Listen, the whole universe, all the plants and everything's going on, all the planets and all these, they're all doing what they're supposed to do according to the Word of God. Now, if they're doing what they're supposed to do according to the Word of God, then don't you think God's Word is pretty faithful? Well, why don't we just obey it? Why don't we just do it? Why don't we learn it and do it? The hope of many people, watch me, the hope of many people is not resting on the eternal Word of God because many of us do not know the eternal Word of God. That's why the hope of many people rests in money or other men, what they're telling me. This is why I quote so many doggone verses in my messages. That's why there are some verses that you have heard me quote to refer to hundreds of times. And I don't know about you, I'm bad about going home and memorizing verses. But you know what I did, I have learned? If I hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it, eventually some of it sticks. Do you realize when God wrote this book, there wasn't a printing press? And the Bible said we're supposed to meditate on the Word of God day and night. Well, how are we supposed to do that? Go and hear it, and then go the next day and hear it again. Go the next day and hear it again. Because they couldn't go home and read the Bible. And we have that privilege. They couldn't do that. So they had to go by what the priest would read at the synagogue. And they'd listen, and they'd listen. Eventually, it would stick. They passed it down as a tradition, so to speak. Now, sometimes they memorized it wrong, and we tend to do that sometimes too. But we have the Word of God. It's settled. Let's live by it. We need to know it. The foundation of your faith and hope, watch, is not to be in me or in any other preacher or in the government or in the media, but solely in the Word of God. It's supposed to be solely in the Word of God. We profess we believe it and even follow it. We profess that we follow it. But many cannot quote it because they really don't know it. Psalm 119, 126 says, "It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." So when it comes to the Word of God, we must be in it, in for it, all in, and totally on board. And if I'm trusting God will deliver me, I must trust Him by doing what He says for me to do. Psalm 119, 165. "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." That means they won't stumble, fall in a pit. They won't get off track. "Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments." See, they go together. I've hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. "My soul hath kept thy testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I have kept the precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee." You know whether I'm doing that or not, Lord. And by the way, He does. You can say you're following His word, but God knows whether you are or not. "Well, I don't understand what I should be doing." Well, Proverbs 9:9, "Give instruction to a wise man, he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding." So what do you need to do? Learn the Word of God. You'll start to understand. Well, people will say they know God's Word. But I believe that the vast majority of Christians in America who claim to live by the Ten Commandments would not be able to name them, much less find them in the Bible. We say that we live by them, but I don't think we could name them. Well, actually, we're not, you know, okay, a penny saved is a penny earned. A bird in hand's worth two in a bush. What's that? Yeah, cleanliness, that's a good one. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Yeah. And, you know, and by the way, they were not in that good book. They may be in another good book, but they're not in that one. We'll say, well, okay, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit murder, commit adultery. And you know, we know that. But you know what? A lot of them can't even get past the very first one. They don't even know the first one. "You should have no other gods before me." What are you trusting other than God? Well, I don't even like that one. Because I know sometimes I'm trusting something else rather than trusting God. "Thou shalt not covet." Covet, what's that mean? Well, if you don't know what it means, how do you know you're keeping it? I mean, you say, well, that's one of the big ten. Right? Covet, that means you're glad that somebody has it and you don't want to get it back from them because you want to have it instead of them. Jealousy. desire to have what someone else has because you think you deserve it. That's no big deal. Nobody even knows about that. God says it's one of the Ten Commandments. But I'm following the Ten Commandments. I also believe that there are many folks who claim to be saved, but would not be able to quote the Romans Road, the foundational verses of our faith that supports our salvation in Christ. We wouldn't be able to quote them. No wonder there's times when they doubt their salvation. Really, I'm serious. God says the Holy Spirit will lead you in all truth and He'll bring it back to your remembrance. And when those little doubts arise, the Holy Spirit says, yes, Sterling, but you remember that? All of sin can assure the glory of God, the wages of sin is death, but God commends His love towards us, and while we yet sinners, Christ died for you. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Remember that? Yeah, did you do that? Well, I sure did. Well, is God a liar? Well, no, God's not a liar. I'm serious. These verses are coming through your brain almost, and you start preaching to yourself on the inside, and those doubts and the fears go back out the window. The fact is, there are some people who want to know why I even called it the Romans Road. Now, those who know the Romans Road know why I call it the Romans Road. To have hope, we must know God's Word. And the better we know God's Word, the stronger our hope can be. Number two, not only do we need to know God's Word, it sounds weird, but we need to believe in God's Word. We need to believe. I've known folks who can quote many verses and deny most of them. They can quote them to try to prove that they're wrong. Now, that's kind of the nth degree, but some of us can quote verses, but we really don't expect to ever actually live by them. Knowing the Word of God is of no use if we do not believe the Word of God. Psalm 119:49, remember the Word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Hope the Word. The Word has caused me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy Word hath quickened me. It makes me alive. It brings me back to life. The proud have had me in great derision, but yet I have not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, and Lord, and have comforted myself. How did I have? But I need a therapist. No, you need the Word of God in your heart. You know what the therapist is going to tell you to do? To repeat your problems over and over and over and over and over, and they put you in a pit and it gets so deep you'll never get out. But you'll keep paying their bills and you're buying them their yachts. And they won't have given you any. They say, well, I felt. You say, well, I felt better when I left. Did it fix the problem? Or does it build back up until next week and spend another $200 for an hour to complain? Preacher, I can't tithe. I got to pay my therapist. Why don't you pay God and let Him do your therapy? I'm trying to be mean here, but this is the truth. Psalm 119:81, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. 119:114, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. In other words, I'm taking God's word on it. It says, depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. I like that. You know what it said? He said, what? He said, I'm being attacked, so I need a hiding place. So thou art my hiding place and my shield. I'm hoping in thy word. I'm not going to do anything stupid. I'm not going to stumble because I know the word of God, and I'll be able to make my decisions based on the word of God, and I'll do just fine. And then he says, depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will be keeping the commandments of my God. He says, listen, if I know God's word and I'm obeying it, God's my hope and my shield. He's my force, my fortress, my strong tower. He'll fight my battles. So you evil person, you better watch out because I've been keeping his commandments. You're in danger. You're in trouble, Buster, because God will fight my battles for me. You better look out. Devil, look out. My job is to do right according to God's word. And God says, if I believe him and follow him, he'll keep that stuff away from me. I'm not saying nothing bad is going to happen. We live in a sinful world. But I'm saying he's not going to get the best of me unless the Lord allows it. Watch it. It says, For I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. That's what you're thinking. Well, I don't want to do something stupid and I'll look like a crazy person. He says, don't let me be ashamed. Don't let me be embarrassed for hoping in you, Lord. Psalm 119:42. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for in I trust in thy word. And take not thy word, thy truth, utterly out of my mouth. For I've hoped in thy judgments. In other words, when the evildoers mock me and threaten me, I don't have to stand there like an idiot. I just do what the Lord has decided I should do. So therefore shall I keep thy law continually, forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty. I may be tied to the Lord, but I'm running full stride because I'm running in sync with him. I will walk at liberty. Seek thy precepts, for I seek thy precepts, and I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. He said, that's why you say, you know, you can stand there and stand on the word of God, whether it's a homeless guy out here on the street or whether it's the president of the United States. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also I will lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes in order to truly hope in God. Watch, we must be willing to take God's word on it. So I need to know God's word. I need to believe God's word. Thirdly, I need to obey God's word. Knowing the word of God is of no value if we do not believe in the word of God. And even believing in the word of God is of little value in our hopelessness if we do not entrust the word of God enough to obey the word of God. Now, we say we believe the word of God, but then why don't we obey it? The Bible says we should put the Lord first in our life. So what do? You put him first above all things. We cannot say we have hope in the word of God if we are too doubtful about it to obey it, to observe, to do all that's written therein. If you want to build hope in your heart, begin obeying the parts of the word of God that you already understand. If the word says don't lie, that means you don't lie, including little white lies. Just don't. Now here's my conclusion. We build hope by building a relationship with God. Because then we will know it. We do that by knowing God's word, believing God's word, and obeying God's word. And we will see him work in our life. We are naturally scared of the unknown, not knowing our future. We fear the future. And so that causes great stress and turmoil. And our hearts will be disquieted. But we know who holds tomorrow, and it will ease our hearts. If we know God's word, then we will know God. If we know God, we can have hope. Psalm 16:8, I've set the Lord always before me because he is my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, my glory rejoiceth, and my flesh also shall rest in hope. Psalm 71:5, for thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Now watch. When we determine to keep our focus on the Lord, we're going to know the person of God. If we know the person of God, we're going to know his character. We're going to know that he's righteous. He always does that which is right, besides the fact he's always right. So if this is what he says, then that's what he says. We're going to know that God is holy. God is separated from all sin. So God doesn't walk in darkness. So if I'm walking with him, I don't have to worry about walking in darkness. God is just. He's always fair. He never changes the rules on you. He's equitable and no respecter of persons. He's always just. God is true. There's no shadow of turning with the Lord. He's the Lord and he cannot lie. God is merciful. Psalm 33 tells us the Lord is plenteous in mercy and his mercies endureth forever. God is loving. The Lord loves us with an everlasting love. No one can separate us from the love of God. And he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. If he's loved us so much to give his only begotten son, how shall he spare us from anything else? I mean, shall he not give us all things that we have? If he spared not his own son, how shall he not give us all things that we need? God is faithful. Deuteronomy 7 says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant, mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." 2 Thessalonians 3:3, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." We're going to know the power of God. He's omniscient. He knows everything. Everything. He's omnipresent. So not only he knows everything, but he's here seeing what needs to be seen. So he knows what's going on. He's omnipotent. He has all the power. He's eternal. He has been and always will be exactly the same, and he's immutable, never changes. Listen, we need to know his character. We need to know the power of God. We need to know the promises of God. I won't get in all the promises. We'll be here forever. There's so many. We'll know the presence of God, that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And he's with you always. And if all that gets in place, then you will be able to trust God. You'll be able to trust his person, trust the power of God, trust the promises of God. And if we have hope in God, we have no reason to be cast down. Is God in control? Well, yes. Is God good and righteous? Well, yes. God has not gone anywhere. He's there day and night. Does God change? No. God is our rock. Why should we mourn? Do all the things still work together for good to those who love God? Yes, it still does. Does the Lord leave the peace with us or not? He says, "Listen, peace I leave with you, not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Nathan sang about it. Listen, peace is not depression. I'm going to go through one real quick. I'll be all done. Psalm 146. If you want to look at it with me, you can. It won't be long. I just summarized everything I've just said there. Psalm 146, verse 1. "Praise y'all the Lord." Y'all praise the Lord. "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any beating." You say, well, why does he say it like that? Because he's happy. He's real happy. He's happy that he's happy. And he's planning on staying happy. He's living well. He's not depressed. He's praising. Watch this. Verse 3. Why is he so happy? He's learned something. You know what he learned? "Put not your trust in princes." That's the government. "Nor in the son of man." That's any other person around here who thinks they got all the answers. "In whom there is no help." Watch. You know, watch. He says, "His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, and that very day his thoughts are perished." He thinks he's so wise, he's going to die, and all those thoughts he had, gone. You know all the quotes that you used to get from Winston Churchill, all those pithy little quotes, you know? Most of us can't even quote any of them now. It was him that said, "Speak softly and carry a big stick." I think it was him. Oh, that was Roosevelt. See, there you go. "I'm so wise." It's going to be gone. I'm almost done. Don't go away from here. He says his thoughts perish. Verse 5. Here's how you get happy. "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help." He said, you know, man's no help. "Happy is the one who has a God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord Jehovah," the Lord, "his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widows. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down." So who do you want to hope in, man or God? That's what he's trying to say here. "The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations." praise ye the Lord. So let's get to know God and build our hope. It's well worth the investment. Know God's word. Believe God's word. Obey God's word. Let me say that again. Put this in your pocket. Know God's word. Every little bit of word of the God you know more is less than you can be depressed about, or less than you have to be depressed about. Know God's word. Believe God's word. Obey God's word. You know, I don't usually do the say the word. Number one is what? Know God's word. Say it again. Secondly, we need to believe God's word, and then we need to. Okay, you said it. Hope will rise up and defeat your depression.